The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Chav Vav. Today's daf is being studied by Ainu Nishmat Morzikini, Yosef Ben Sarah, and Marat Zekinati, Yafa Bat Sarah, Abraham Ben Esther, and Hashem Ben Echim, and Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashlema, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama Bat Rahel, and Sarah Bat Rahel. In the referral of him, for the nefesh, for the goof, or for the tamker, and above the hanging of Sovin Omar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Vav, Amud Rishon, starting from the Mishnah HaKotev Tofse Gittin. As we learned, a Tofes of a get is the standard text of the get, not including names, date, and place. Some will explain it as the boilerplate, which means that is the standard text that every get has. So HaKotev Tofse Gittin, you have a sofer that is writing Tofse Gittin, and she says, just soferu. Venotel sachar, he gets paid for doing his work. Venotzesh yu mizumanim lo. Which means he wants to have the gittin ready. Pe'amim she'adam ba le'sochro. A guy comes to hire him. Ve'hu tarud b'shtarot ha'harim. So he wants to have the standard text ready. So if somebody needs it right away, he can pull out the tofes. So it says, ha'kotev tofse gittin, tzarik she'yaniach makom ha'ish, u'makom ha'isha, u'makom ha'ziman. But he's got to leave out the blanks. He's got to leave out the place of the man's name, the place of the lady's name, and the time. As she says, she'im ro'e teger b'nehem, because Yisofer is not allowed to say, like, let's say he sees a couple fighting with each other. So he says, oh, you know what? Let me get to get ready. Let me write his name. Let me write, her name and all that. Had any kotev kod aget. The Gemara is going to explain why he cannot do that. Right, he's got to wait until the actual time when they come to him, then he could write the get itself. But he could have the tofes prepared. Okay, comes the Gemara Mishnah continues. Shtare Malve. Also a Shtare Malve. That's a shtar that the Malve writes, you know, that so and so owes him money. That's the lender, right? Sarich Shiyaniach Makom Ha Malve. He's got to leave the blanks. Which the blanks? The place that has the lender's name. Makom Ha Love, the borrower's name. Makom Ha Maot, the place that has the amount of money that is owed. Makom Ha Zeman. And also the time, of course, time is vital in a loan, because you can go after real estate, you can go after properties, and therefore you have to know exactly when the loan took place in order that you don't go after properties that were sold before the loan took place. As she says, Sarich she'yaniach makom, same similar story by the get. Ve'im shama shaya echad rodef ahar chaverot halvoto mane. Let's say the sofer sees a guy trying to get a loan from somebody. So this guy looks like he's trying to borrow $1,000. Let me get the shtar ready. Let me put the names in. Lo yomar harini kotev miyad. Let me write the shtar immediately. Vaniyach makom hazman debodo. I'll just leave the time out, because he understands that the time he can't put. Shelo yesh shtar mukdam, because otherwise it's a predated shtar. And asarik shiyaniach makom alove vamalve vamaot. You got to leave everything blank. Ve'afalgav dedeka lemahash lemidi. Gezerah shtarot adu kitin. The Gemara is going to say we can make a gezerah on shtarot. If you do it by shtarot, you might come to do it by gittin. The Gemara says the problem of gittin is we're going to see, for whatever reason, that we're going to say that gittin is probably going to be an issue of lishma. So therefore, even though you don't have to write a shtar malve lishma, but if we let you do it by malve, you might come to do it by gittin. So again, you have to leave the blanks as well. Shtar mekah. That's a shtar of a purchase. That person is buying something. Sarik she'aniach, same point. Makom alokeyah, you got to leave the blanks. That's the buyer. Makom amocher, that's the seller. Makom amaot, the money. Makom asadeh, the place of the field that's being sold. Umakom azeman mipene Hatakana. Gemara is going to explain what is this takana business because of the takana and which case is takana going back on. Rabbi Yehuda posel bechulan. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if he left all the blanks, you can't even write a tofes. You can't even write a standard text in all these cases over here. You got to write it from scratch at the time. Rabbi Elazar machshir bechulan. Rabbi Yehuda says no. It's all kasher by malveh. And by mekach chutz megitei nashim, except when it comes to gitei nashim, shneimar vechatav la lishma. Now, when Rabbi Elazar is machshir bekulan, as she explains, ubelvad she aniach mekamot alalu, which means according to Rabbi Elazar, by other shtarot, by malve and mekach, he lets you write the tofes. Okay, but you got to leave the blanks. But by get, he doesn't even let you write the tofes. Okay, and we'll see why. Okay. So we'll see why. Comes the Gemara now and begins. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Sarich shiyaniach af makom hare at muteret lechol adam. Good. Tanakama said when you're writing tofsi gitin, you got to leave his name, the blank, her name, the zman, the time, and the place. So now Rav Yehuda comes along and says there's another line you have to leave also, which is the ikar haget, where it's written in the get, hare at muteret lechol adam. You are permissible. It's in Tanakama. Yeah, there's a line that says vehare at muteret lechol adam. Yeah, so you got to leave that line blank. Yeah, makom haish, makom haisha, makom hazman. Okay, the time. The point is, you have to leave also that ikara get line that says what hare at muteret lechol adam. V'Rabbi Elazarhi, and the Tanakama of our Mishnah is actually following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Amar, Adem Misira Karti. That what makes the get? The Edim that watch the get being given over. Now let's review that. Once you say that the Ikara get is on the Adem Misira, so when the Torah says, Vechatav la Sifr Kiritut, what is Ketivah going on? Ketivah is going on the actual writing of the get itself. Because Ketivah cannot be going on the signatures of the witnesses, because you don't have to have witnesses signing. So always remember, according to Rabbi Elazar that says Adem Misira Karti, Vechatav is going on the actual shtar itself. Uba'inan Ketivah Lishma. Oh, and you need the Ketivah to be written Lishma. So therefore, what's the Ketivah? He gotta get his name, her name, Hareat Muteret, Lechot Adam. So that is the Tanakama's opinion of the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, I know we have Rabbi Elazar at the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara will analyze that momentarily. But the Tanakama of the first part of the Mishnah that says you can write Tofsei Gitin, you just have to leave blanks. Obviously, that holds you have to write the get itself the Shema, because according to Rabbi Meir, the Ketivah itself does not have to be the Shema. Right? The Chavarah, according to Rabbi Meir, should be able to even write names. The only thing you have to be careful is not to sign it, because the signing has to be the Shema. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Adem Mesira Karti Hilkach Vechatav La. When it says in the Pasuk Vechatav La, Lav Ahatima Kae. It's not going on the signatures. The Hatimat Edim Ena Ela Medibre Sofrim. According to Rabbi Elazar, Edim only sign a Shtar Medrabanan. The Pnei Tikkun HaOlam. Vechiketi Vechatav La. When it says Vechatav La, Mashma Aikar Kiritut Kae Dahainu Kol Hani Damran. What it means, the Aikar again, very good, which is all the blanks that we mentioned. Names, a date, and the line of Hare'at Mutet Lechol Adam. Now, if we go back, Rabotai, we've had several Mishnayot that have been established by Shmuel according to Rabbi Elazar. This being one of them. This is Amar Rabbi Damar Shmuel. Shmuel said that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar that says Adem Misira Karti. We've had Shmuel say this statement two other times in two previous Mishnayot. One Mishnah was a case where a get is written by a cheresh shoteh v'katan. The Gemara says, how can a get be written by a cheresh shoteh v'katan? So if you remember, Shmuel answered, it's going like Rabbi Elazar that says Adem Misira Karte, and we're talking about where the cheresh shoteh v'katan wrote the get, they left out the toref, they left out the names, and therefore it's not a problem. They're only writing the tofes. So according to Rabbi Elazar, that's the way a Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan would be able to write it, as long as they're leaving out the Ikar HaGet. So again, Shmuel established a previous Mishnah according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Furthermore, two Mishnayot ago, Rabbi Elazar, Shmuel also established the Mishnah of Mechubar. That was a case of a get that's attached to the ground. So what do we say? We said that you have to detach it from the ground, then ride it and give it. If you remember, we had a contradiction in that Mishnah. Because the beginning of that Mishnah said you cannot ride it on the Mechubar. You cannot ride it on something that's attached. And then the Mishnah said, but if you did it and you gave it, it's okay. We said, how is that possible? So we said it's talking about Rabbi Elazar, where you wrote the tofis when it was Mechubar, you detached it, wrote the torif, that's Vechatav, and then you gave it. Now Shmuel is the one that interpreted that as well. So basically you have Shmuel in three Mishnayot that's going out of his way to say Halakha Kirabi Elazar. So the Gemara's next question is, what do you need Shmuel three times to tell us Halakha Kirabi Elazar? In the Mishnah of Mechubar, in the Mishnah of Echeresh Shotevi Katan, writing again, and an Al Mishnah over here of writing Tofse Gitin. So the Gemara says Viserika. The I Ashmin and Hakamaita. If you only told me the case of Mechubar when the get is attached to the ground, there I had to establish it and tell you clearly it's like Nabil Azar, because we had a stida, diktani, and kodvin. In the beginning it said you can't write in the Mechubar. Uktani, kadvu. Then it said if you did it. So therefore I have to tell you how to square off that stida. So Shmuel had to go out of his way to tell me, yeah, it means en kodvim. Remember how we learned it? En kodvim tofse gitin b'mechubar, because you might come to write the torif. But if you wrote the tofis and then you cut it and then you wrote the torif and gave it, it'll be okay. So since we had a contradiction in the Mishnah, Shmuel had to go out of his way to explain it. Good. Aval sefa diktani she'en kiyuma get ela bechotamav. Now, in the next case was the case of a Heresh Shotev Katan writing a get. Now, in that Mishnah, if you remember the end of that Mishnah, then talked about a lady herself bringing her get from Medinat Hayam, and we said she has to say Befanai Nechtav and Befanai Nechtam. And we said over there, the language of the Mishnah was because kiyuma get is made with its signatures. Now, you would have thought over there, Emar Bimi'iri, Da'amar, since in that Mishnah it does say the language that the kiyum ashtar is done with the edim, so you would have thought that language sounds like it's going like Rabbi Meir, right? So that's why you had to come along and say in that Mishnah as well that halakha is like Rabbi Elazar, because that Mishnah implies from the language that kiyum ashtar is done with the chotamim. So we explained earlier that Rabbi Elazar will interpret that language when it says that Kiyum Ashtar is done with the signatures. In the olden days, even according to Rabbi Elazar, he used to make signatures sign a get. And usually those signatures were the ones that used to be the Adeh Mesirah. The same ones that signed used to be the ones that when this is giving over. So even in that Mishnah, even though it says that the Adim Amikayin Mishnah doesn't mean the Adeh Hatimah, it means the Adeh Mesirah. So Shmuel go have his way to explain us also over there that it's going according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, if you just told me in that case, fine. Aval. Ha, but in our Mishnah, Ema Medesefa Rabbi Elazar, Avereshalav Rabbi Elazar. In our case, if you look closely, we have Rabbi Elazar at the end of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar is the one that says what? His Lashon is Rabbi Elazar Makshir Bekulan, right? Rabbi Elazar says that you could leave the blanks in all documents except for Giteh Nashim. Now, from the fact that the Sefa is Rabbi Elazar, must be the Resha is not Rabbi Elazar. That's why you had to come along and say Sirika, that even Tanakama is following Rabbi Elazar, which means we have two Shitot in what Rabbi Elazar holds. According to Tanakama says what? You could write any Shtar, whether it's a Get or whether it's a Shtar Malveh. You could write the Tofes so long as you leave out the Torif. Who that must be going like? Rabbi Elazar. But the way he's understanding Rabbi Elazar is we don't make a Gezerah between other Shtarot to Gitin. However, the second Shitav Rabbi Elazar, which is the Sefer of the Mishnah, holds that what? That you can write only Gitin. No, you can write only Shar Shtarot, the Tofes alone. However, by Gitin itself, we don't even let you write the Tofes. So let's review exactly what took place over here now through the eyes of Rashi. Let's read Rashi now. Vesericha. See Rashi? Vesericha. Vesericha l'shmu'el l'ukme dahani tlat stameh k'Rabbi Elazar. You needed Rabbi Shmuel
to establish the three Stam Mishnayot that we had previously, according to the Bir Azar. Ul Memra Bekulu, and he said in all of them, Vihu Shishir Makom HaTorif. Which means in all those cases, by the way, Shemir really basically made the same statement. So long as you leave out the Torif. Now, whenever you see those words, so long as you leave out the Torif, that's a signal that you know you're going like Nabi Lazar. Because Nabi Lazar says the Torif has to be written, Nishma. Shmuel said on three separate Mishnayot, so long as you left out the Torif. What's the cases? And Kotvim ala Mechubar. Right? That was the case that if you wrote on the Mechubar, so long as you left out the Torif and you cut it, you're okay. Ve'akol keshirin lichtov. Everybody's kashir to write a get, even if Hadesh Tov Kadan, so long as they left out the Torif. Vakotev Tofse Gittin, if somebody's writing Tofse Gittin, like a Sofer, it's okay so long as you leave out the Torif. Kulihu Ukim Na Shemuel Kerabir Azar. Okay? So therefore, Diktani in Kotvin. Okay, so what was that going back on? Right, in the first Mishnah of the Mechubar, we had a contradiction. The first part of the Mishnah says in Kotvin, and the second Mishnah says, if you wrote it, you give it. Make up your mind. Can you write it in Mechubar or not? So that she says, Vehadar tani katvu ala Mechubar kasher. Which means the first part of the Mishnah says you can't write it on Mechubar. The second part of the Mishnah says, if you wrote it on Mechubar, it's kasher. Umbidikasha resha lesefa. You have a question on the resha lesefa. Ukim na dahaki kamar. In Kotvin tofse gitin, shema yichtov torif. But if you wrote the tofes and then you cut it and you gave it and you wrote the tonef, you're okay. Good. Aval sefa hakol keshirin lichtov diktan shekim aget ela b'chotamav. It says in the second Mishnah, everybody's kasher to write a get. You know why? Because the main kiyum is with the witnesses. That's what's going like Rabbi Meir. Because the main kiyum is with the witnesses. That sign, the chotamav. So therefore, anybody's kasher to write a get. I don't need the shema. So if I needed shemuel to come along in that case, it's tell me no. That's what Shmuel has to go out of his way to know. Even in that case, you have to leave the Torif. The Rabbi Azari. Oh, but it says Vesefa Diktani She'en Kiyum Aget Ela B'Chotamav. But it says that the get is only kasher with the signatures. Lav Le'achshure Torif Teharish Shutav Katan Deshelo Lishma Ke'e Ela Metziata Ke'e Ha'isha Kotevet Et Kita Lishma. It's going on that case where we said a lady can write her get Lishma, so long as what? Even though it says Enaget Mekayim Bechotamav, we said according to the Bir Azar, they used to sign witnesses also, and the signatures they used to sign used to be the same witness they used to give it over in front of. So when it says Enaget Mekuyam Bechotamav, it really means with the idea Mesira. Oh, look at the next Rashi. Ikal ukmer kerabil azar velo kasha midi kiparish aval hamid esefa padik rabil azar aresha diktani bil azar makshim bechulan hus bikite nashim v'resha makshim af bikite nashim ema resha lav rabil azari. Which means in our Mishnah he had to come out and tell it us as well, because in our Mishnah we have two shitot of rabil azar comes out. According to Tanakh Kama, he says you're allowed to write tofse gitin and you're allowed to write tofse melve and love and you're allowed to write tofse mecher. Who's that must be going like? That must be going like Shittat to Bir Azar, because he does not like let you write the Torah. Oh, the only difference, so different from the fact that Tanakh Kama is following the Bir Azar, I would have thought that from the fact that the Sefa is the Bir Azar, because clearly the Bir Azar is in our Mishnah, I would have thought that the Resha is not going in the Shittat of the Bir Azar. Kamash Valen Shemuel, even the Resha is going like Rabbi Azar, and it comes out, you have a Mahloket in Rabbi Azar, what he holds. According to Tanakh Kama, you're allowed to write Tofse, Gitin, and Malveh. And according to the Sefa, you're only allowed to write Tofse, Malveh, but you're not allowed to write Tofse, Gitin. And we'll explain that Mahloket momentarily. So again, I just want to review outside. This basically what we just said over here is Shemuel three times, three consecutive Mishnayot, went out of his way to make the same statement. So long as you didn't write the Torif. So long as you didn't write the Torif. Now that's clearly Alibad Rabbi Elazar. Because according to Rabbi Elazar, the Torah faget has to be written Lishma. So the Gemara is just asking, Shemuel, three times you had to go out of your way? He says, yes. In the first Mishnah, I go out of my way by the Mechubah, because we had a Stira in the Mishnah. You tell me in the beginning, don't write. Then you tell me, if you wrote, how do you square that? So we squared it off. Where you don't write the Torah because you might come to write the Torah. But if you wrote the Torah and you didn't write the Torah, it's okay. Beautiful. Second Mishnah. Ahadish Shotev Katan writes a get. Came Shemuel and said, so long as they don't write the Torah. What do you have to tell me in that case? Because that Mishnah, you could have confused that it's going like the Mimi'ir. That Ahadish Shotev Katan can write the whole get. Because the language in the Mishnah was, She'en Kiyum Aget Ela Bechotamav. So from that language, it's matra, it's going like to be meir. That's going according to the signatures. We had to go out of his way and say, no. That statement is lav davka hotamav. It means the hotamav, which eventually will be used as the adem misira. And therefore, the talking about the harish tovik that left out the torif. Oh, in our case, he had to go out of his way and say also when Tanakama said you leave out the names and all that business. So Shmuel again. So long as you leave out also Hareat Mutir Lechol Adam, you gotta leave out the Ikara Get. Again, Shemuel, what do you have to tell us for? Because you would have thought that maybe the Resha is not Rabbi Azar, because the Sefava Mishnah is Rabbi Azar. Comes the Shemuel, so even the Resha, you have two Shitot in Rabbi Azar. Tanakama holds like Rabbi Azar, obviously, that he only lets you write Tofis, but doesn't let you write Torif. But he lets you do it Ben Bigitin, Ben Bishar Shtarot. Whereas the second Shita of Rabbi Azar, by Shar Shtarot, he lets you write Tofis. But by Gitin, he's not going to let you even write the Tofis, Gizirah, that you might come to write the Torif. She's Shitat Rashi, and I'm explaining to you, so you get the last Shitav Rabbi Azar clearly. The last Shitav Rabbi Azar, when it comes to Shar Shtarot, Malveh, Loveh, Shtarot, like that, he lets you write Tofis. But he doesn't let you write Torif. You know why? Because if I let you write a Torif by Shar Shtarot, you might come to write the Torif by a Get. But by Get, he doesn't even let you write the Tofis. Because if you write the Tofis, you might come to write the Torif. So therefore, Tofsim by Shar Shtarot Mutar, Torif Asur in both, and by Gittin, even the Tofis is Asur Atu Torif of Gittin. In any event, that is the Tushitot. In any event, we go further in the Gemara. The Gemara comes along and says, Mipnei Takana. So we said in the Mishnah that the reason why you have to do all this business over here is because of the Takana, because of the decree. So comes the Gemara and says, that what? My takana. What is this takana over here? Which means the Gemara is going to explain now. We said that the Mishnah is going like the Bir Azar. Okay? Now you told me that this business over here, that we did all this subject, that we don't want you to write a get, unless, unless it's the time to write. We don't want you to write it too early because of the takana. Now, why would we allow you to write, according to Tanakama, Tufsim? Why they let you write a Tofis? According to Tanakama, doesn't he let you write a Tofis? So the Gemara says, Amar Yonatan b'pnei Takanat Sofer. Because we want to benefit the Sofrim. ורבי אלעזרי, דמר אדם מצירה קרתי, ובדין הוא דאפידו תופס נמי לא לכתוב, ומשום תקנת סופרים שרו רבנן. Which means, really according to רבי אלעזר, we should be מחמי not to even let you write a תופס. You know why? Because we let you write a תופס, you might come to write a תורף. So why did תנקמה allow to write תופסי גיטין according to רבי אלעזר? זה התקנה. What's the תקנה? תקנה סופרים. What's the takana of the sofrim? Takana of the sofrim is we want them to have business. Which means what's going to happen? The guy's going to want to have a get. If he doesn't have the tofis ready, so therefore this guy's going to lose a sale. So therefore we let the sofrim write tofsi gitin, even though it could lead to writing the torif. That takana we were lenient on them. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Rabbi takana sofer." התירו לכתוב תופס שלא לשמה ורבי אלעזרי התקנה התירו לכתוב תופס הלא ואחי ועשה רבי אלעזר דבעיל לשמה בכתיבה מדאורייתא. Right, so comes the Gemara and says, now we explain the Mishnah on the slide over here. ורבי יהודה פוסל בכולן. Now רבי יהודה is פוסל everything, which means he don't let you write no תופס, not by שעה שטרות, not by גיטין. גזר תופס עד ותורף Gazar Shtarot Adugitin. Wow, he makes all the Gezerot possible. He says, you can't write a Tofes by Shar Shtarot because we're going to go say Shar Shtarot Adu Gitin. And Gitin, you can't write the Tofes because you might come to write the Torah. Therefore, according to the Biyuda, he doesn't go with this no business of Tekanat Sofrim. You can't do anything. You write the Shtar when everybody's ready. There's no pre-made Shtarot according to the Biyuda. For the Bilazar Makshir Bekulan, the Bi'azar will make sheet to write Tofis Bekulan, Chutz Megiteh Nashim. Except, you're not going to write the Tofis by Gitin. Why? Tofis Atu Toref, Gazar Shtarot Atu, Tofis Atu Toref Gazar, Shtarot Atu Gitin, no Gazar. Which means he was Gozer, Tofis Gitin Atu Toref Gitin, but he wasn't Gozer, Tofis Shtarot Atu, Tofis, and Torif, Gittin.
So, on the Gezerah.
No, according to the Bihudai, makes Gezerah on the Gezerah. That's right. He's Gezerah everything. But the point is, according to, so comes out, those are the three Shittos. So the Gemara's question was, Mai Takana, meaning, what's this business why Tanakama allows you to write a Tofis of a Git? What's the reason? Seemingly, you should be strict, because if you're going like Nabil Azar, if I let you write a Tofis, you might come to write the Torif, which means, what am I worried about? The guy might write the names before anything ever happened over here. And therefore, not only that, yeah, I might come to write the Torif Shalom Lishma. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right, but to benefit Sofrim, so they'll have documents ready to sell, so we let them write the Torfis, at least according to Tanakama. Comes the Gemara and says, Shnei Emor. Now, we have a problem at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Al-Azari, he was Mahmir. He doesn't even let you write the tofis of the git. You know why? Because the pasuk says vechatav la, and we learn what does vechatav la mean. You have to write lishma. Now the chavra, that pasuk doesn't make any sense because you don't have to write a tofis lishma. So the Gemara asks the question. He goes veha ki ketiv la. When it says the word la, atorifu dichtiv. So it's not written on the tofis. So the Mishnah's language that you have to write tofse. You can't write tofse gitiv because it says vechatav la. That doesn't make any sense. Ela ema mishum shene'emar v'chatav la nishma. So, read the Mishnah like this. Ela mishum shene'emar, which means, if it would have said like our Mishnah, shene'emar is much, but this is the source why you can't write a torif. That's not so. I'm sorry, that's the source why you can't write a tofis. That's not so. V'chatav la is not going on a tofis. Ela you have to say mishum shene'emar. By saying mishum, it's like saying, because of a gezerah of vechatav la lishma, and since you have to write the torif lishma, I'm concerned that you're going to write the. If you like, you write the torif, you'll come to write the torif. So when you add the word mishum turns it into like a gezerah atu. What's written in that pasuk? Comes the Gemara and says now kasha Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar. We have a stira now between the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Elazar, and the Leshitara Rabbi Elazar. Tanakama holds what you can write any document, get or shash tarot, just leave out the blanks. According to the second Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, you can only do that by shash tarot, right, tofis, but not by getin. So obviously, Rabbi Elazar, Gemara says, catch the Rabbi Elazar, tre tana'e, by the Rabbi Elazar. Okay, you have two tana'im that heard from Rabbi Elazar differently. Each one reported what he heard from Rabbi Elazar, like we see many times. Comes the Gemara and says, Rab Shabbatai Amar Chizkiyah, Rab Shabbatai comes along and says, Mishum ketata v'Rabbi Meirhi de Amar ade hatima karti. Oh, now we're going back to answer our Mishnah. We're giving a different answer now. We said what? Till now we established our Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar, and we said what? The reason why we let the sofer write tofes is because what? So we can have documents ready. Takana sofrim. Really, according to Rabbi Elazar, we should be mahmir. We shouldn't even let you write a tofes because you might come to write a torah. But you know what? Takanat sofrim. Now we're coming along and looking at it a different way. You know what takana means over here? Takana is we're saying, why do we forbid to write the torif? We're looking at it the other way. Why we will mahmir not to write a torif? Because if you go like the Bimi'ir, which we want to say is going like that, look how they can even write the names. According to the Bimi'ir, the only thing you got to be concerned about is the signatures. So therefore, why didn't the Tana of the Mishnah allow you to even write torif gitin? You know why? Mepnei takana. What's the takana? So it says, "Ubedinu dafilu toref nami lechtov." Really, you should be allowed according to the Mimir to write even the toref. But what's the problem? Zimnin de shamay le sofer. So it's going to happen. What? The lady's going to hear this that the sofer wrote a get already for her. Deka kativ, which is what's going to happen. Give a scenario: the sofer lives downstairs from a quarreling couple, so he hears them fighting. Says, you know what, this guy's going to come to me sooner or later. This guy doesn't sound like having a good marriage. So he starts to write the tofes, and he starts writing names. I got a quote to be me, no problem. You don't have to write the names, Lishma. Right? He's going to sign the signature. So he's writing the names over there. What's going to happen? The lady is going to come from upstairs. She's going to hear the sofer writing a get. He's talking out loud. He says, Sarah getting divorced to Abraham. So now she's going to think that her husband commissioned this sofer to write the get. V'savra ihu. She's going to think that he told him to write it. Now he's going to start. She's going to really start to fight with him. So therefore, really, the reason why we don't want to write the entire get because of Ketata. That's Ali Badr bin Meir. That's why we don't let you write Torif, because she might find out about it and mistakenly think that he commissioned it when he did not, and that is going to cause fighting. Rav Chazda Amar Avimi, Rav Chazda, in the name of Avimi, says another interpretation. Mishum Takanat Agunot. New Takana called Takanat Agunot. Now we have to see what this Agunot means. Normally, the word Aguna is that you leave a lady in limbo. Right? Aguna meaning she can't get married, you leave her in limbo. This Agunot over here, as we're going to see in the Rashi, he explains it differently. The Rishonim take him to task, but he explains Agunot over here, it's going to cause a lady to be divorced. Now she's really not an Aguna, but in the sense of it, we're calling a divorced lady an Aguna, meaning she's going to be bereft of her husband. Now let's see how this Tekanat Agunot works. Amri la Rabbi Meir, va'amri la Rabbi Elazar. You can explain this Tekanat Agunot either according to Rabbi Meir or according to Rabbi Elazar. Amri la Rabbi Meir, damar ade hatima karti. Which means according to Rabbi Meir, that's ade hatima is the main thing. Ubedinu da filu toref nami lichtov. Really, you should be able to write even the toref. Vizimniim, da'avi le ketata bada. What's going to happen? The sofer is going to hear them quarreling, viratahana, and the husband is going to get angry. Now, if this shtar is ready, means the sofer's got the names already in it, he's going to get angry. He's going to run downstairs, grab the shtar from the sofer. I guess he'll have to put signatures on it quickly. Vizarak le nihale. He's going to throw it to her. Once it comes within her four amot, she's going to get against the will even. Ume again. Now she becomes an aguna, not an aguna in the regular sense. She's going to get divorced, which it's going to be easy to divorce the lady. Which, right, no time to cool off. If you're going to have these texts already with names and ready, so the guy's going to run downstairs, grab the shtar out of the sofa's head, throw it at her, and now you got a situation of aguna. The mefarshim over here who learn not like Rashi say no, mamash can mean aguna. What's going to happen? You're going to have this get ready. We're concerned that what? In his nervousness to throw it, he's going to throw it, but he's not going to throw it where it's going to reach her. It's going to be safek karov lo, safek karov la. It's going to be a safek if it's close to her or it's close to him. Now, in that case, over she's considered safek migureish, and therefore she's not going to be able to get married again. So therefore, the word aguna works very nicely. In any event, that's the tekana over here. Now, am nila Rabbi Elazar, damara de mesira karti. Or you could learn the case going to Rabbi Elazar. Ubedinu da'afidu tofsein namei lo lichtov. And you know what? Really, according to Rabbi Elazar, you shouldn't be able to write a tofes because she might come to write a torev. Zimnin deba'ed emezal medatayam. Oh, but what are you concerned about? Maybe the husband's going to have to travel overseas. Ve'lo ashkach safra. He's not going to be able to find a sofer that has a tofes ready. Ve'shavikla. He's going to go overseas. Again, and she's going to end up becoming a legitimate aguna. Umotivla and leave her. Which means, according to Rabbi Elazar, tekanat agunot is like this. You know what? We let him write tofes gitin. Takana agunot. Real aguna. The guy's ready to go overseas, right? So usually the custom was they would give their wife a get, just in case he doesn't come back by a certain time. He doesn't want his wife to fall to Yibum and things like that. Now, if he's not going to find a tofes that's prepared already, maybe there's going to be a sofer around. Not until he goes to find a sofer. I'm going overseas. I can't wait. Now what's going to happen? He's not going to come back. And she's going to be an aguna because she's not going to know his status. So therefore, they were lenient. You know what? Let him have even the text ready. So therefore, before he goes away, he might not be able to find the sofer. Doesn't matter. You have the text, just fill in the blanks, and he can give her a get. So therefore, comes out. Let's just review. There's three ways to learn what takana means in our Mishnah. The first understanding, mipnei takana, is telling us why were we lenient to write tofsei gittin. You know why? Takana to sofrim. We're doing it to the benefit of the sofer. That what? Maybe he's going to be busy and things like that. So we want him to have, people can come to him, but we need a text. You know, if he's not going to have anything in stock, so we might not be able to sell it. So therefore, we let him have stock. Okay, takana of the sofrim. And it's going to be al-azar. Because really, we shouldn't say he shouldn't even have stock of tofsin, because he might write the toref, and that's going to be a problem. Second answer of the Gemara is, it's going to Rabbi Meir, and the takana is mishum ketata. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, why don't I let them write the toref? According to Rabbi Meir, you should write everything. You know what? Because I'm concerned that the lady is going to see that the sofer already wrote the get. She's going to think her husband commissioned the sofer to write the get, even though he didn't, and that's going to cause them to quarrel even more. Third shita could be going like either opinion. Third shita is takanat agunot. If you go like Rabbi Elazar, what's the concern? We'll let you write a tofes. You know why? I'm going to let you write a tofes because if I shouldn't let you write a tofes either, because Gezerah, you might come to write a toref, right? According to Rabbi Elazar, I shouldn't allow it also. But why is he allow at least the toref? So the Gemara says because of a takana of agunot. Let's read that inside. Right, so the reason why we let you write a tufs to be Azar is because he might go to Medina Tayyam. He might not be able to find a get that's written already, and then he's going to leave his wife Mamash and Aguna. So that's why they let him write the standard text. So you just have to fill in the blanks before he goes away in the ship. If you're going to go like to be Meir, we don't want the guy to write the Torif and have the get ready. You know why? Because sometimes the guy's going to get angry. If the get is ready, he's going to pick it up, he's going to throw it up. Either she's going to get divorced as a result of it, so you made her an Aguna, meaning she's now bereft of her husband, or Mamash, you're going to make her an Aguna, because the get is going to be not thrown correctly between, it's going to be close to him or close to her, Sefek, and therefore she's going to Mamash be an Aguna. So there's three interpretations of what the Takana of the Mishnah is. Comes again when I continues. Umakom Azman. Okay, good. You have to write this man in the get. Now, if you remember, we learned earlier in the Masechet, we had a Mahalokah between Rabbi Yohanan and Shlakish. Why do you write Zman in a get? Either it was because Bat Ahoto or because of Perot. Let's review that. Very good. Bat Ahoto means what? We're concerned that if you write the wrong Zman, if you don't write the Zman in a get, let's say, so what could happen? The lady is going to commit Zanut, right? She's going to go with another man. The husband will take out an undated get, or for that matter, a predated get, and he'll say, oh, my wife was divorced when she committed this zanut, and he'll save her from the death penalty. So you see, you can cover up on a zanut situation, if we got to write again. Rishtakish gave a different reason. He said, Mishum Perot. He was concerned, as long as they're married, the husband gets to eat Perot from the Chsim Midlog. That's the property that the lady brings into the marriage, that the husband benefits the Perot. But what's going to happen if you have a predated shtar? The lady's going to come along and say, hey, I was divorced already from this early date. Those perot belong to me. She's going to go after the fields that he sold, and she's going to take them unlawfully. So it's either a concern that he can cover up on his wife's illicit behavior, or it's a subject of monetary, that if it's a predated shtar, she can take perot from him illegally. In any event, our Mishnah said, in all gets, when they're writing the tofes, right? Our Mishnah, when you're writing the tofes, you got to leave out Makom Hazman, the line that has the date. So the Gemara says, Ka Pasek V'Taneh. The Tanah says a blanket statement. Lo Shena Mina Nisu'in Ve'lo Shena Mina Irusin. It doesn't make a difference whether she's getting divorced from Nisu'in, which is marriage, or she's getting divorced from Irusin, which is engagement. You have to keep in mind, gentlemen, in the olden days, the engagement was not like our engagement, where you just give her a ring, and it's an intention to get married. Irusin in the olden days was, Mama, she would give her the ring and say, Hare at mikudeshet li betaba'adzu. Kedam Moshev Yisrael. Now, there'd be a break between the Kiddushin and the Nisu'in. Sometimes it lasted a year. But Kiddushin itself is binding. Meaning, if he wants to get out of that now, he's got to give her a get. Now, the Mishnah said what? You got to write Zman in a get. It doesn't matter whether you're giving her the get from the Nisu'in or you're giving her the get from the Irusin. So the Gemara says, Bish, Tamam in a Nisu'in. I understand why you have to write Zman in a marriage when it's Nisu'in. Ben leman damar mishum bat achoto ika, ben leman damar mishum peri ika. Because both reasons apply, right? When she's married, you have the cover-up reason that we said bat achoto, and you also have perot, because when she's married, the husband eats perot. So both reasons apply why you have to put zman. Ela mina erusin, but if it's only mina erusin, according to the cover-up you have as well, because she's not allowed to go with another man, even from the Erusin. So therefore, I understand why you have to put a date, because if you don't put a date, he can cover up and say she was divorced already when she fooled around with the Erusin. But according to the Shita that says Perot, Arusa mi itla peri. And Arusa does not eat Perot, which means not Arusa doesn't eat Perot. A husband does not get Perot from the Erusin. So the monetary concern, if it's only a monetary concern, you should not mandate to have to write a zman mina irusin. She's the zman in an irusin only makes sense according to shita that goes with bat achoto, trying to cover up. but it doesn't go with perot. Why? Because irusin, the husband does not eat perot. So Yomaras Amar of Amram, ha milta shamat mined de'ula de'amar mishum takanat valad. I heard a new reason why I need a zman in an irusin. New reason, not to do with perot, because of what's called takanat valad. He says, I heard about this takanat valad, takanat for the child. Ve'lo yadana manu. I didn't know what it was. But when I heard the case, the Braita, Ha'omer, guy tells the Sofer, Kidvu get la arusati, tells the Sofer, I want you to write a get to my arusa, lichnesena agarshena. So when I get married, tell the divorcer. So you're telling the Sofer, write the get now, you're engaged. Write the get now, mina irusin, date it now, and I'm going to give it to after I get married. Ain't no get. It's not a get. Now, why is it not a get? Ve'amar ula mat'a. He tells us sofer. Right.
So when I get married,
which means I write the get now. I'm not going to use it until after I make nisu'in. Then I'm going to give it a get. But I want you to write the get now. That I'm going to use it when I, after I get married. So the Gemara says it's not a good get. Now, why is it not a good get? Ve'amar ula mat'am. What's the reason? Gezera shema yomru. Gita kodim libna. Oh, very good. What's going to happen? You have now over here a predated get. Correct? The get already is dated from the irusin. He did not use it until the nisuin. That means they got married. Right? They were definitely together. They got married. She's going to get pregnant. She's going to have a child. Later on, they're going to look at the divorce. And the divorce is going to be early. And they're going to say that she had the baby out of wedlock. So therefore, we don't let them write the get. Now, if you remember, we learned a get called the get yashan. The get yashan is a get that's... forget about predated. I'm not talking about predated, by the way, because if it was predated, it would be pasul. I'm talking about over even to write the get, we have a law called get yashan. Once a husband writes a get and then makes yichud with his wife, the get is pasul. This is even worse. Forget about Yehud. This is, he actually married her. He actually, vadai, went with her. The law is normally what? That once a guy has a get written, and then he goes with his wife, vadai, the get is pasul, because she can affect the children now. Because what's going to happen? Later on, they're going to take this get out that was written earlier, and now what's going to happen? The people are going to say, oh, when she had this child, she was already divorced. Also, the Gemara says, hachaname. Here also, you know why you need his man in a get of ben erusin? Gezerah shema yemru gita kodem libna, because of the same concern. What is this concern? Look at Rashi hachaname. See Rashi hachaname. Bematnitin mishumaki sarich laniach makom zman after tofes arusa. You have to leave the zman out in arusa get as well. Why? Shema yichtov zman lebo bayom. What are we concerned about? He might write the zman for whatever day he wrote it. We're concerned that he might not divorce until after he gets married. We're going to say that while she had the baby out of wedlock. So somebody asked you a question now. What's the reason why you need a zman in an irusin? The reason is takanat valad. We understand one takana is because of batahoto, because he could cover up. But there's another takana I have to be concerned about. If you're going to predate it, the issue is what? She's going to end up getting married. They're going to have a child. People are going to think that they were divorced when they had the child. It's going to be a blemish on the child itself. Good. Okay. Comes given us Amar Bizera, Amar Abba, Barshila. Amar Rav Menu Nasaba, Amar Rav Adabara Haba, Amar Rav. After all this, Halakha Rabbi Elazar. Halakha follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that what? That by a get, you can't write the tofes even. You have to write everything from scratch. No tofes, because she might come to write the torif. Comes again when it says, Kari Rav Ale. Rav said regarding Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar Tovina de Hakime. He is the choice of rabbis. He is the strongest of the Hakamim. Tovina de Hakime. He's the most what do you give a language there? Tovina? The wisest. Okay, the wisest of the Hakamim. Good. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it, Rav. You tell me that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. Va'afidu bishar shtarot nameh? Are you telling me you're taking him so far that even shtar shtarot? Now, how did Rashi learn shtar shtarot? By shtar shtarot, according to Rabbi Elazar, he only allowed you to write a tofes. But he does not. Now let's speak it out. By shtar shtarot, by a malveh. Does a malveh shtar have to be written lishma? No. So technically, you should be able to write. Let's say I'm a sofer, and I hear already guys in negotiations talking about trying to make a loan with each other, right? Technically, according to the halakha, I should be able to take out my paper, write it up, of course leave out the date, but write everything up, names and all that stuff over there. Why? Because you don't have to be in the Shema. And when they finally come to me and say, you know what, but we have a loan transacting, I got it already. Reuven wants to borrow $1,000 from Shimon. But you know what the Bi'il Azar says? We're not going to let you do that. You know what? Because if I let you write the Toref by a malveh alone, you might come to write the toref by a get. And that's a problem, because that has to be in the Shema. But I'll let you write the tofes. Right? He lets you write the tofes. Now, the question is, when Rav said alakha ka Rabbi Elazar, did it mean that what? Like Rabbi Elazar, that he only allows you to write a tofes by Shar Shtarot? Was he mahmi? Because that's really a chumrah. That I'm only letting you write a tofes, that he makes a gezerah. Shar shtarot atu giti, you're going to go that far? So the Gemara says, Veha amar pepe mishemed rabah. Hai ashrata de dayane. Ashrata de dayane is like this. Guy brings a shtar to Beti. He wants to validate it. So what Beti, what they do is they certify shtarot. They check out the witnesses, they make sure the witnesses are legitimate. Then they write what's called an ashrata. What's an ashrata? A certificate of certification. Yeah, we the witnesses, or we the judges on this Beit Din over here, we validate the shtar that was brought in front of us, and they sign their signatures, and they stamp it, right? So it says, let's say you have an ashtata d'dayana, this certificate of certification, they wrote it up before the shtar was validated. They wrote it up. The shtar came in front of us and we validated. So they have the Ketav Ashtata ready to go. So once it's validated, they'll just sign their names on it. Pisula. No good. Why is it Pisula? Alma Merzi Kishikra. You know why? It's Merzi Kishikra. Because it looks like you're lying over here. We validate. You didn't validate nothing yet. The witnesses were not validated. You can't write it early. Hachaname Merzi Kishikra. Here also the Gemara wants to say, if we're going to let a sofer write a tofes between a malveh and a loveh, like Rabbi Elazar wants to say, it looks like you're lying. Why? Because what do they write in the tofes? So-and-so, you leave his name out, but came in front of us and borrowed blank amount of money. But it's not so. Nobody came in front of you, no one's borrowing the money, which means, how could you tell me, Rav? Let's go slow. Rav, you tell me al-Khalzak like Rabbi Elazar. Even by Shah Shtarot, are you going to tell me by Shah Shtarot, we're going to go that you can write a tofis? Looks like you're lying. And how do we know that we're concerned about lying? Because when a Beit Din writes an Ashrata, right, before the actual Shtar was certified, they just write, they leave the blanks in. This Shtar came in front of us, and we, the judges sitting over here, validated it. You can't write that up until it actually happened, because it's Merzi Kishikra. Similarly, I should not allow you to write a tofes of a transaction, because even in those transactions, it does say, I am someone came in front of us and borrowed. Nobody came in front of you yet. What are you talking? It should be Merzi Kishikra. Look at Ashi. Ashrata. Kiyum Ashtar. Sha'edim me'edim al ktav yedem bebetin. The witnesses come in to validate their own signatures. Ubetin kodvin bo. Then Betin signs a paper and it says, Bemotav tata. We were three judges, Havina, Vatu Ploni Uploni, so-and-so came, Vashidu Hatimat Yadau, they testified on their signatures, Vashinu, and we certified it, Vikaminu Kede Hazeh, Vihotmin. So you see, we don't let them do that, which they're only allowed to write that Shtar Betin until it actually happens. So similarly, we should not let a Sofer write the Tofes between a Malveh and a Malveh, because it looks like Shikra. Comes the Gemara and says, Veleta. He says, you know what? It's not so. Why? With the Rav Nachman. The Amar Rav Nachman Omer Aya Rabbi Meir Afilu Mitzao Be'ashpa. Right? Which is a get. We know this case many times. You found a get in the garbage dump. Hatmo, again, had his name on it, similar name and the same name as his wife. So what did the guy do? Took it out of the garbage can, signed it, v'natnu la kasher. Because the Bimia says you don't need to have the Torah for it in Lishma. So long as he signed it, Lishma, you're okay. V'afilu rabbanam lo padig alid Rabbi Meir ela bigitei nashim deba'inan ketiva Lishma. The rabbis only argued on Rabbi Meir by a get, because they say, a get has to be written Lishma. Aval bishar shtarot lo. But on other shtarot, they didn't care. Which means, according to the rabbis, even if you would find a shtar between a malveh and a levet with names on it already, technically the shtar is kasher. They were only mahmir by get, because get is already a yan of lishma. Look at Nashi. Matzo bashpa. Velo nichtav leshem isha klal. Alma, lo chayshina lemechzi keshikra, kevad nichtam beito uzmano. Which means, what do you see over here? You're not concerned, so long as it's signed correctly. I don't care if you found the document in the garbage can. He was only mahmir by get, because get you need lishma. But it's mashma every other case. So you found names and stuff like that. So I found the document that says, what? There was a loveh that's borrowing from a mother. So what? Take the thing out of the garbage can and write it. What's the difference? So therefore, it sounds like you can even take a tofes and you're not going to have an issue. So Gemara says, the amar of asamar of Yohanan. Let's take a case over here. Shtar shel avabo, got a shtar. He used the shtar to borrow money. Okay? Uparo. He paid up the loan. Now what do you do with the shtar? The shtar now becomes, it's paid up already. Again, the Malveh had a shtar, right? Comes to the Levi, you owe me $1,000. The Levi paid up. Now what's the shtar? Shtar's invalid anymore. It was used already, right? Eno chozer velovebo. You can't use the same shtar now on the same day, let's say. Same day, everything good. New loan. Give me $1,000. We'll use the same shtar over here. You know why? Shekevar nimhal shi'budo. Because bottom line, once the shtar was called in, so already his mohel, his shi'bud means, when I give a shtar as a lover, right? I'm mishabed, not only myself to pay money, but you can come after my fields. That's what a shtar does. Once the shtar is paid up, finished, all the liens go off until I write a new shtar that re-obligates me to pay and also puts liens on my fields. That's the only reason why the Gemara is saying you can't use a shtar twice in one day. It's only because what? With an old shtar, a shtar that was used already, it's not going to affect the fields. It's not going to mishabed the fields. However, but I'm not worried about shikra. Why? What's shikra about this item? The chaura, let's say it's a Monday, right? It's the same day. I go to the guy, I wrote a shtar up, he owed me $1,000, I show him the shtar, he pays me the $1,000. This shtar technically what? Is ineffective. Even though technically I could say what? I use the same shtar, that's written on Monday, what? To effect a new loan. The only reason why the Gemara says you can't do that is because once the shtar was paid up, you got to write a new shtar that will subjugate the borrower to put liens on the fields that he sells. You cannot subjugate fields on an old shtar, but that's the only reason. Take that off the table. I'm not concerned that what? That this shtar was not written for this loan. I'm not worried about shikra. What does it say? It says, there was a loan given over here between so and so. That's not so, by the way. This shtar was written up for a different loan. You're using it now for something else. You're not concerned about the shikra, the shikir aspect of it. You're only concerned about the legal aspect of the shabud of the karakot. So what do you see? By a shtar of a halba'a, we're not worried about shikra. And therefore, you're allowed to write a tofes. And therefore, we're going to say, according to the Bil Azar, you can write the boilerplates of shtarot of malveh and noveh. Means you can write. So-and-so came in front of us, leave it blank, and wanted to borrow, blank, from so-and-so, leave it blank, on this day, blank. Even, and we're not worried about it, it looks like shikir. Why would I look? This case also looks like shikir, right? You're on a shtar, it's paid up in full, and now I'm using the same shtar to effect a new loan that the shtar was not written for. If it wasn't for the fact that the karka is not mishrobad, the shtar would be okay. So what do you see over here? I'm not concerned by shar shtarot of shikra. Let me read Rashi now. אבל לשקלה, פעם נשאיר לדפה. אם היה נחתם על מלווה זו, אף הפי שנכתב קודם הלוואה, even though this was written before the loan was even given. Right? Which means, in this case over here, this stuff was written for a different loan. Right? Now you want to use it for a loan that was not done till later. So you wrote the shtar early, but it's on the same day. You might come along and say, hey, this is sheker. We don't say sheker. And therefore comes out, according to this over here, it'll be permissible, halakha like Rabbi Azar, in two cases. Number one, by get, that we're not going to let you write a tofes, because you might come to write a toref, but halakha is going to follow Rabbi Azar even by shah shtarot, and I'm going to let you write a tofes. You know why? I'm not worried about shikra. I'm not worried about the inyan. Now, it should be noted, Tosfot has a different understanding on this sugya. He holds that Rabbi Azar, by shah shtarot, he even lets you write toref. Very lenient. Which means, according to Rabbi Azar, by shah shtarot maveh, which means I say, according to the Tosafot, Sofer hears Reuven Shimon talking about a potential transaction. Tosfot knows, according to Rabbi Azar, he can write the whole thing up. Reuven is borrowing $1,000 from Shimon. They get all ready over there, no problem. And the Hadush, according to the Tosafot, is even stronger now. That even that we're not worried about Shikra. Here you actually won't, it didn't happen yet. And you see the Gemara is bringing a good proof. Because here the star was written up with names already. And still we say, if it wasn't for the fact of the shi'amud of the karka, that you can't mishabed karka on an old star, it would be okay. Even though technically this star was written before the actual loan took place. Right? Because this star was written on an old loan. Even though it was dated on the same day. But you used it for something else. So you see, even on a toref, Tosafot says, you don't have a problem by shahar shtarot. So it's machloket, nashim, and Tosafot, according to the Bir Azar, how far I let you go by shahar shtarot. Nashi only tofes. According to Tosafot, even the toref. Baruch Adonai.